So some thoughts on our readings today. Paul wrote his letter to the church in Philippi from prison. He told them that he was in chains, but it didn't stop him spending his time working for the Lord Jesus. He was totally committed to his work for God. Philippi had been his first evangelistic mission in Europe, and he'd found there a place of prayer, and now there was a growing church. And Paul wanted to tell the Christians there that they must keep fit in body, mind, and spirit. And he wanted them to show their commitment to the Lord by thinking of other people's interests rather than their own. And the way he said to do this was to choose the right attitude, the attitude of Jesus Christ. And how many times, I wonder, do we tell our teenage children to choose the right attitude? Remember my son getting a bike once, and the bike's name was Attitude. He was a teenager at the time, and the man who sold him the bike said that was probably very fitting for a teenager for his bike to be called Attitude. Well, if they were to take on the attitude of Jesus Christ, Paul said, they should be loving and caring. They should be trusting in God the Father. And they should stand up for others in need. But also keep strong in their faith. So they were gentle, but also forgiving. And above all, they should be humble, taking on the role of a servant. But Paul in that letter also stresses the divine nature of Jesus. And those verses, when he explains about the divinity of Jesus, have a sort of rhythm to them. And it's thought that they were possibly a hymn or a poem set at the time for people to learn about that divine nature of Jesus. And they refer to Jesus Christ being truly God, who emptied himself of his glory and became human, obedient to death, exalted, and given the name above every name. Last night I went to the Globe Theatre to see the Mysteries, or Mystery Plays. You might have seen Mystery Plays elsewhere before. I haven't really seen any, and I was quite intrigued. It was very long, but it was an interesting way of learning the stories of the Bible. And the one about Jesus' life, and particularly his death and his resurrection, was very graphic. And Jesus was covered in all sorts of marks, the actor playing Jesus. And he was tied to the cross piece of the cross and carried it through the audience, grunting and groaning with the weight of it. And the soldiers pushing us aside to let him through. And it was quite a vision, an image of Jesus that I hadn't really thought about, that suffering that he went through. But it's quite an experience seeing the Mystery Plays if you get a chance. Well, as Christians ourselves, we're also called to take on that attitude of Christ, to be ready to serve God in Christ at all times, and to be committed to living out the good news of the gospel. And of course, if we choose the right attitude, then we please God. So let's take a look at that little parable we heard from Matthew's gospel. Two sons with an attitude, different attitudes. We've got the one son, when he was asked to go and work in the vineyard, refusing to go. But later he changed his mind and went to work. Whereas the other son said he would go and work in the vineyard, but he didn't go. So I wonder why they both changed their minds. Well, Jesus didn't say that either son was right. Perhaps the first one realized that he ought to go, perhaps to please his father, or perhaps to play his part in the community. Maybe the second one was a bit of a rebel, never had any intention of going. Or was he perhaps distracted by something else and just didn't make it to work? Well, we might think it's actually not surprising that he changed his mind, because work in the vineyard was very hard work. And Tom could put up a picture for us now. First one, there we go, shows that work in the vineyard in the heat of the day, picking the grapes and tending the vines. Not easy work, pretty hard work. And the second picture, again, shows people taking those grapes to storage or to winemaking, whatever they do with them. And again, that very hot, hard work. So perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that the son who said he would go was easily distracted by something else and didn't make it to the vineyard that day. Well, I wonder if you find you are distracted at times, especially when something turns up that you should be doing. And I wonder if so, what distracts you? I thought of one or two things that distract me. I don't know if they perhaps distract you as well when you ought to be doing something. Tom, can you pop up the next slide? Here we go. Distractions. TV, maybe? That one doesn't bother me too much, TV, though I must admit if I sit down and watch one thing, I tend to stay there and watch more than I intended to. Computer, definitely. If I go and look something up, I tend to find myself surfing and looking at other things as well. Shops, I'm okay, but if I go for one thing, I'll start wandering around looking at other things as well, especially if I know I'm supposed to be back home writing an Ofsted report that I'm getting a little bit bored with. Neighbours can be distracting, can't they? Over the fence, newspapers. Newspapers are so huge nowadays, aren't they? You can't read them in one sitting. Food is another one that distracts me. Don't know about you, but any sort of work I need to do, I'm soon distracted by a cup of tea and piece of cake or anything going. The garden, the housework. When you've got something you have to do, sometimes housework is very inviting, isn't it? A nice distraction. Well, I wonder what distracts you, if anything. Paul says, if we have the right attitude, then we please God. So I wonder which of those sons had the right attitude. Jesus said to the temple priests, "What do you think?" And then he told them what he thought. The first son represents the tax collectors and prostitutes because they believed the message of John the Baptist. They changed their minds about their lifestyles when they heard the message, and they repented. The temple leaders appeared to be doing God's will, but did not even recognize Jesus as Messiah. So he tells them that the prostitutes and the tax collectors are entering the kingdom of God before them. Take a look at the next picture. This is set in Africa. And I wonder if you know the story of a man who changed his mind for God, linked with West Africa. Well, John Newton, the great hymn writer, set out to do one thing, quite a rebel, but he changed his mind for God. Now, I'd like to tell you a little bit about his story. So let's have a look at John Newton, Tom. There he is. John Newton learnt the Bible as a small child, and he went off to work at the age of 11 with the Merchant Navy. But he lost his first job because he was so impatient and his behaviour was so bad, they gave him the sack. He was a rebellious teenager throughout, and he was eventually press-ganged into the Navy. But he couldn't take the discipline in the Navy, and he deserted ship. He got caught, and he was flogged, and he ended up working on a slave ship. But he continued to be arrogant and insubordinate, and he did whatever he wanted to do and disregarded the interests of everybody else. He took up work with a slave trader on a plantation in West Africa where they grew lemon trees. But while he was there, he was treated cruelly by the slave trader and his family, and he was even forced to beg for food. And so he managed to get himself onto a ship bound for Liverpool. And on the way back home to Liverpool, the ship was struck by a great storm. And during the storm, Newton changed his mind and converted to Christianity. He remembered those Bible stories he knew as a child, and he saw the sense in them. He saw Christ in them, and he was converted on that ship on the way back home. Well, he continued to work on the slave ships in the hope that he could improve conditions for the slaves. But he became increasingly unhappy with the trading of slaves, and he trained as an Anglican minister. And during his ministry in the church, he wrote hymns, and that is what he's most remembered for. But he also campaigned against the slave trade right into old age. And somebody suggested he should retire, but he refused. He was totally committed to God's work, refusing to be distracted in any way, and certainly not by retirement. And so I think maybe the lesson we can take from John Newton is to make sure that we avoid too many distractions. We need to get on with God's work in the world. Jesus asks us to think for ourselves too, to decide what is the right thing to do, and to get on with it. Avoid distractions, work towards commitment for God, and just to get on with whatever he gives us to do.